Now, I have a couple of readings here, but they're not too long. There's one from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. For me to live is Christ, Paul was able to say, and to die is gain. And now, before I really get into my testimony, I want to ask the question to most of you here tonight. Death, have you given death any thought? Have you thought about death at any time? I know it's a morbid thing to think about, especially the older generation. But I was here about 20 years ago, and I was just looking around, and there's a fair few young ones. And I would say they weren't even about it at that time. But I would ask them to consider too, because nobody knows. You know, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But just give death a thought tonight as I go along my testimony, and you'll see why. And another thing I want to ask you is, where will you spend eternity after you die? Because the rich man, he lifted up his eyes being in torment, and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. But Lazarus fared sumptuously. He fared sumptuously every day, but Lazarus, he didn't. So the two were separated. They were separated in death, they were separated in life, and they were separated in eternity. So I would just give you that wee thing to be going on with. And now the second reading I have is Isaiah 61 and verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. You know, as I say, I bring greetings from Castlederg Church, and I bring greetings too also from 6 Mile Cross, because we go now to 6 Mile Cross in the morning, and we go down to Castlederg at night, because I had a lot of friends down there, and still have, but there's some of them has passed away. I'll go into that in more detail. But we go now to 6 Mile Cross in the morning because it's handier. And it's near. We didn't go to Oma Church because Oma have a large congregation, and they got a new minister there, the Reverend Mercer. So I think they're doing pretty well. But we had a great man, the Reverend Timothy Nelson. But he has gone up to this man's countryside. Now he's gone up to Ballinahinch. So we just know that Ballinahinch shall be blessed when they've got a man like Timothy Nelson. So we're just praying, and you can pray along with me that 6 Mile Cross will, in due course, get a minister, because there's a fair few churches at the moment vacant, and there's very little old hands, as I say, willing to take a call anymore, and there's not many ministers available. So we just pray to the Lord that he'll bring the man of his choosing to 6 Mile Cross. So, as I say, I'm from Castlederg. I'm living now in Oma. Somebody asked the wife one day, how long have you been going to 6 Mile Cross? She said about 5 years. And it just happened to say about 16 years. So that's the way she calculated it. But anyway, I was born and raised in the village of Castlederg. I know some of you have been in it and know where it's at, but there's others just might know where it's down in the west of the province. Next step you would go into the south. I just lived about maybe a mile and a half from the border in a wee village called Kilclean, or I suppose it was an area. But I was brought up in a home. There was 5 sisters and 2 brothers, along with myself. And I wouldn't say I was brought up in a Christian home, but I would say I was brought up in a godly home. My mother always feared God. My father would have took a drink and all, and he wasn't saved at the time. But thankfully, the two of them's in glory today. But my mother always made sure that the spuds were peeled on a Saturday night and everything was done. She didn't believe in doing nothing on a Sabbath day. Sadly today, that's not the case with a lot of homes. But my mother had a wee bit of Brethren teaching. She come from a bit of background of the Brethren, so that's where she got that from. I remember my mother sitting reading her Bible, and then she would have quoted many as a hymn. She could have quoted John 3:16 right through, or John 14 even, right through. But she would have quoted many of the hymns, and there's one hymn in particular. I will go through that later on. But as I say, as I grew up, school, that's one word I would say to the young ones today. Love school, because I hated it. And to my cost, it didn't do me a pile of good. But I would say, love school and go to school. But I didn't. I done everything I could do to scheme or try to get out of school. But I remember when I come to about the age of 12 years of age, coming out of school one day early, and I didn't get the bus, I walked home. And there was these neighbours of mine digging spuds in the potato field. Now, there's some of the language that you might think it's kind of like Ulster Scots, or maybe it's like a bit Irish, I don't know, but some of them not just be the same as you would hear maybe down around here. But I went into the field, and then I was talking to this fella that was digging the spuds. I knew him well. He was a good neighbour, and he would have been working in the bog with my father at times. And now there's another chore that I will come into later on. But I was talking to Davy Allett, and I never knew anything about gambling or knew anything about horses or nothing. Might have seen an odd horse in a field, but I didn't have any clue about gambling or what it was. And he said to me, he says, "Hey, sir," he says, "you wouldn't go down to the boogies and see if that horse had won." And of course, I asked him much of it on the horse, and he told me £60. So I thought, that's great. I ran down, and he told me what to do. He told me to look up, and I would see a one or a two or a three marked against it. Come up and tell me. And then he said, "You'll see two marks." And I come up and I told him, "Oh, you're up." I says, "You won." I said, "You're a rich man now." And he says, what was the numbers below it?" And I says, "A 4 and a 6. "Ah," he says, "no good." He says, "No good at all." He says, "It was only 46. Well, to me, that was Dutch to me at that time. But sadly to say, I come to learn what them figures meant. But anyway, he got £40 and his own £60 back at that time, which I thought, hey, this is great. £40 for not doing anything at all. I mean, I'm talking back maybe 35 years ago or 40 years, you know. And for to get £40 like that, I thought this was tremendous. Of course, I hadn't £40 to put on a horse at that time. I used to go about, I don't know how any of you remember the old tin bath. I used to remember getting the old tin bath and putting it on a trolley and go around and gathering up the old lemonade bottles and taking them down to Jeff McCarran. And I got 10p a bottle. That's how I was making the money. But sadly, it didn't do me much good because old Jack Kinney, the bookie, he got the whole thing on the weekend. I went in on a Saturday with Davy, and I would have put on. I hadn't a clue about horses. He would have just told me the ones to back, and I backed them. But sadly, as the years went on, I got to know more and more about. Like, I'm not here tonight to glorify sin. I'm just here to tell you exactly how it was, because that's exactly how I got involved in gambling. And you know, they talk about drink, but gambling is just every bit as bad as drink, because if it gets a catch on you. Thankfully, praise the Lord, it never got really a catch on me, but it was getting to the point where it was getting serious. But I remember, I'm sure some of you have heard Big Ivan Thompson preaching. Now, Big Ivan was a character, and Big Ivan, he called himself Robin Hood of Belfast. He said he robbed the rich to help the poor. When the rich in Malone Road went out to church, Ivan, he would have went in, him and another guy, and he would have robbed the houses Then he said he'd give it to the wee poor women that need it. But Ivan said, he says his three things was the bookies, the butts and the booze. But thankfully I had no bother with the butts. I never smoked in my life, but the other two did take over my life. But Ivan, he says, when he went into a bookies, and I never noticed this now until I was listening to his testimony one night, and he said that there's about three or four or maybe five wonders for paying in money, but there's only one girl or one fella for paying out the money again. So you can guess the money that the bookies are making. I mean, if there are 20 horses in a race, you've only got one and the bookie has got the other 20. So your chances are light. But anyway, as time went on, you know, they talk about putting by for a rainy day. I'm sure you just heard that. Mrs. Town, need to keep back a wee bit for a rainy day. Well, I never kept nothing back. I didn't believe in a rainy day. The bookies was my rainy day. But sadly, my life changed completely. In 1988, I had a brother-in-law, and he wasn't a well man anyway. He had angina. And he was only 41 at this stage, and he was told not to touch drink or anything. But of course, Bertie, that was the kind of him. You know, he was a bit like myself. He would not heeded anybody, done his own thing. But Bertie was more than a brother to me, a brother-in-law to me. He was like better than my brothers, because him and me shared the same interests, and he would have backed out a horse as well, and we used to talk. But when my sister come that next morning, the 10th of July, died that night, and when she come down and told me in the morning that Bertie had died, you know, it broke my heart. It really did. I was really hurt, because, I mean, it's gone back a brave while now, a long time, but getting all the pain, it's still there to think that man, you know, could have been living if it had just lived a different life. But he affected me big time. And as I say, for a rainy day, I hadn't even anything to wear for the funeral. I had nothing. I couldn't even go into a shop and buy anything, because I had no money to do it. We just were working from week to week, me and the wife. And I just didn't know what to do. But anyway, I was talking to my brother-in-law, another brother-in-law, Robert McCain. Now, there's some of the folks here would know Robert and Eileen very well. Well, Robert was in the drapery business at that time, and he used to go across the water and he used to buy stuff, children's wear. My sister would have done a market here in Londonderry for maybe 30 years or more, and the two of them now's on in years and they're not able to do anything at all, hardly. But Robert was good to me, and Robert helped me out any way he could. And Robert said to me, he says, I have a suit. He says, it'll do you. I'll lend it to you for the funeral. I said, that's great. I said, appreciate that very much. So I tried the suit on, and now it's fitted dead on. And you know, when you get a suit and you just feel it's a good fit and everything and nice, you just want to get that suit. So I said to him one day after the funeral, and I says, I'll buy that suit off you. No, he says, you'll not. But he says, you'll do me a favour. He says, you come to Castlederg Church, he says, for 10 Sundays. And he said, you're a gambling man, he says, and you can have the suit. And mind you, folks here tonight, I'm standing here in a pulpit in the Free Presbyterian Church, and I've been going now for, I'd hit the count back the years. But do you see, at that time, if somebody had said to me to go into a free church, I would have thought that, you know, they were crazy, how they were going to get me to come into a free church, because I just heard that these people are good living people, and that's for them and not for me. I had no idea. I have a sister, Audrey, and Audrey was all her lifetime a Christian. She used to come the missionaries, the faith mission, round to the border to the Orange Hall. And we all were sent to it. That's one thing my mother did. She sent us. And I remember one time staying behind and making a profession. But sadly, it was just an empty profession. Once I got out, I fell away by the wayside. But thankfully, Audrey didn't. Audrey actually grew in grace, and she went through the college, the Whitfield College of the Bible, for a two-year course. But sadly then, my mum and dad were not well, and she was the only one who left at home, and she was never married, so she looked after them. And she sacrificed. She was going to go to the mission field, but she just felt then that at home is where the Lord wanted her to be. And she'd done Castlederg children's work in Castlederg for recently there. She handed it over to another young girl in the church. But as I say, I respected Audrey. I looked up to Audrey, but to get me into a church, you know, the wife used to go along if Dr. McCrae would have come. Well, Mrs. Woods from Kilskerry, she would have invited her along, and she would have went along there. But at that time, I never thought about going to. But anyway, I gave in to Robert and I said, I'll go. But in between that time, maybe I'm jumping along too far here, but in between that time, I should have said that when we were living in Castlederg, we moved up to Antrim. And we're 3 years there in Antrim after we were married. And our children, two children were born, of a boy and a girl. Having said that, my birthday will be on Tuesday and his is the following week. And he'll be 43. So he's not, you wouldn't say he's a babby anymore. But I still call them children yet anyway. But do pray for them, because my son has got a wee girl and a wee boy. And he's living with a girl and they're not married, and there's nothing I can do about it. I pray for them every night. And my daughter has a wee boy, and she's not married, and she has no husband or nothing. She has no man or nothing about the place. But I think if the wee boy wasn't there in the house, I don't know what I would do. But anyway, I moved back down to Castlederg again, and as I say, I just continued on, and that's when this tragedy struck for me then. But I went along to the church. I abided by the rules that Robert made out. So it just goes to show you tonight, if you're here tonight and you've been trying to get somebody to come into the church and they won't come in, well, go back to them, keep at them, because you never know what they're thinking. And, you know, if you can help out in any way for somebody, your neighbour or something, and maybe just doing some wee thing for them, they'll appreciate that, and they may come in, because that was the case with me. I mean, I couldn't realise the difference. And like I'd gone to the Castlederg Presbyterian Church, that's where I was a member of, and I come up through the Sunday school, and I would have been made to go to church as well. And I mean, the same atmosphere wasn't there as when I went into the Free Church. The singing and the praising of Almighty God was different completely, as far as I was concerned. And I mean, that's what struck me the most. But then, as time went on, I said to Robert, I says, right, the 10 weeks are up now. So he says, the suit's yours. But in between that time, the 28th of August, the Reverend David Fletcher, he's in America now, or over in Canada, and I don't think he's with the Free Church at all now, but I have to say that he was a tremendous gospel preacher. And the Reverend Fletcher preached on that verse that I read, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And I was thinking that night, you know, if I would go home, what had I to gain from death? That's what I was saying to you about death. What would you gain from death if you weren't saved, if you weren't born again with the Spirit of God? So I wasn't, and I just thought about it, and I know the Apostle Paul could say that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He knew he was going to gain, because he said he had finished the course now and he'd fought a good fight. I mean, that wasn't the case with me. So I went home, and of course I was up in my mum's house, and all the folks gathered in on Sunday, you know, and were all there on a Sunday night, and of course my brother Sammy, he was kind of making fun of me. Oh, this man's, because I used to work an odd time with him, maybe in the digger, and he says, oh, this man's a religious man now. He's a Paisley man, he called me. So he says, by no time, he says, you'll see him tomorrow morning. That was Monday morning. He says he'd be lying my shoulder up against the bookies. And Collins, as he said, he'd be looking out of the door. So, you know, that struck me, because I knew what he was saying was correct, that I would be looking out of the door. I would be back in the bookies. So I talked it over with my wife. I says, I'm going to get saved, because I said, I need to. I said, our lives are dreadful. And I said, there need to be a change. And that night, I asked the Lord to come into my heart. And thankfully, you know, when the Apostle Paul got saved on the road to Emmaus, or the road to Damascus, he could see a big light and all. Well, there was no flashing lights with me or anything. But the one thing I do remember, the hymn writer chats about the burden of your heart rolled away. Well, that next morning when I awoke, I could find that whole weight of sin and the burden of my heart rolled away. I could find that. And she said to me, the wife said to me, oh, she said, if you do that, she says, you'll not keep it. But the words of that hymn that we have been singing, I read it time and time again, Timothy. And, you know, I knew that the Lord would keep me. The Lord wouldn't, I wouldn't have to live on my own. You don't have to keep it. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm not standing here tonight and saying that I'm really a holy Jew, as the man would say. But I'm not, because I make mistakes like everybody else does. But the thing about it, the Lord is always there with you. And he will always pick you up. Because every day we sin thought and word and deed. But the Lord is always with us. But as I say, the hymn my mother used to quote was, it's 232 in the hymn book, and it says, O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent his crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. O turn while the Saviour in mercy is waiting, and here for the steer for the harbour light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the dead line tonight? And you, friends, my wife said to me, she said, how do you know that the Spirit is striving with you? And I said, you'll soon know. I says, the minute you know that the Spirit is striving with you, I says, that's it for you. And she wasn't saved for a good wee while afterwards. And our brother Ivan Thompson came to take a mission in Killin. And we attended the mission. And one night they were singing this last verse of this hymn, O sinner, God's patience may weary some day, and leave thy sad soul in the blast. By woeful resistance you have drifted away over the dead line at last. And my wife said to me coming out, she says, that hymn fairly struck me. Well, I says, that's the Spirit striving me tonight. I says, the Lord is calling you to be saved, so take him tonight. So when we got home, we went around, always called on my Robert name. And of course, that was Robert again, that was him. Robert, he says, oh, hold on, I'll get the Reverend Fletcher. I'll ring him and get him. So the Reverend Fletcher called to our house, and he talked over with my wife and led her to the Lord that night as well. And thankfully, the two of us have never looked back. We've had many troubles. I mean, the wife lost her dad in January of 1993. I lost my mum in February. And I lost my dad then in October of all of that 1 year. And just about 3 years ago, I lost my sister Elizabeth. She was only 67. And, of course, was cancer as well. And then was trying times. And the Lord brought us through it. And, you know, 4 years ago, I went to the dentist myself. And it was a kind of like a foreign dentist, and the girl, she said to me, she says, I don't know what's wrong with you. She said, I have to send you to specialists. So she sent me down to Altona Galvin Hospital here, and it was the consultant John Stenhouse, and he said to me, he says, It's a very odd thing you have. He said, I haven't seen it before. But he says, I'm going to take a biopsy and I'll send it away. And he says, come back next week and I'll let you know. But he says, I'm nearly sure, I'm 90% certain it's not cancer. But when me and the wife came back the next Thursday, because we're down in Port Rush on holidays, and we called in, and it was round about the 23rd of September of that year. That was 4 years ago. And he told me, he said, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. He says, it is a cancerous tumour. He said, I'm going to have to remove it. But he says, I can do a good thing for you, because he said, I can take it out. And you thank the Lord, he did take it out. And I have never looked back, thankfully. And I just ask you to keep on praying that the Lord will keep it away. That he told me that if I get to 5 years, he says, I'll be raising my toe up your backside and kicking you out of here. So I'm looking to that day, you know, but I thank the Lord that he has kept his hand upon me. But it's trials like that. And then just recently there, about 3 months ago, I lost another brother, Gordon. He was 66. And the man had hands on him to do anything. And you know, many's the time I tried to talk to him. And it's very, very hard. I'm sure you know that yourself, to talk to your own relations. You could talk to strangers better than you could talk to your own relations. But I just prayed away for him. But I trust that he has made that right decision. No one else knows when you're going through the valley what's coming. But I thank the Lord. I just hope and pray that he has been saved. But if another brother, Sammy, the one I was saying to you, was kind of mocking me, well, he's only 69. And about a year ago, he took dementia. And he's in a home now in Omagh. And every time I go in to see him, he just thinks I'm a stranger. He doesn't even know me. So, you know, I keep praying away that the Lord will touch his brain, because the Lord was the maker of the brain, and the Lord can touch him. Because I always think of the guy, the Legion, that was among the tombs. You know, he said his name was Legion because he was many. There were many devils in him, but the Lord changed him, and the Lord had him in his right mind and clothed and sitting at his feet. So I believe the Lord could do that if I had just strong enough faith. So I just believe and pray away for him. But every day you can see, you know, a change in him. He just seems to be going down the hill. You know, and he's a young man too, like 69. But as I say, the Lord has blessed us and kept us going. And as I say, just take it upon your hearts to pray for my family. Because I long to have household salvation. I long for my children to come and put their trust in the Lord as well. But the funny thing about it is, they'll not go against the gospel. If somebody was arguing against them and the gospel, they'll side up for it, but they'll not make that decision to come themselves. You know. So if you're here tonight, you know, I know there's a lot of young ones here, and I would urge them that early in life put your trust in the Lord and grow in grace, because you never know what the Lord has for you to do. You know. I mean, it's a good wee while now. A brother said he was up in Cumber testifying. Well, the Reverend Ron Johnson, every church he goes to, he's on the phone right away. I mean, I got a phone call from this man here, the Reverend Patterson, way back and long before the summer even. I couldn't believe it. My daughter says, there's a man phoning you, Dad, looking for you to go to Londonderry Church to testify. And, like, that was a good book in that at that time, but every time Ron Johnson goes to a new church, he rings me up right away. So I was up there, and the Reverend Thomas Murray, he had heard him. So he rang me up then and got me to come to Cumber. But the more often you do it, I suppose it's better. It was a long time now, it's a right wee while since I was there. So just the nerves sometimes can overcome me. But I trust that you've understood what I was trying to say to you and where I'm coming from. But like, I'm no scholar or no nothing like that. The Reverend here was at me to take the whole meeting. I says, about a half an hour, so will do me. I says, I'm not a preacher. But I thank you all for coming. I thank you for listening. And I trust, if you're not saved, that you will give your life to the Lord. And if you know anybody that is in the bookies or something, that you'll talk to them and trying to get them away from the bookies. You know, the funny thing about the bookies, you know, when I was gambling, it was all the advertisements for cigarettes, Embassy and all these advertisements. So then they said, take away the advertisements for the cigarettes because they're bad for your health. What did they replace it with? They replaced it with gambling. Bet on 365, bet on this and bet on that. And I said to the wife, so it's a good job the Lord has saved me from gambling, because there's a guy lives beside me and he brings us the papers in the morning. And he has an app on his phone and he doesn't even have to go into a bookies. He just can put on a bet from his app. So that goes to show you how much I would have lost. Well, I might not have had the money to tell the house, but it just goes to show you how easy it is for anyone. You know, in them old machines, so it's very easy for them people now. They can go online and they can play their machines. And the lotto. I trust and pray that the whole pile of these gambling dens will be closed down, because I mean, it's terrible. But I thank you and praise you for coming and for listening to me. And thank the Lord again. All right.